We're going to dive into the right hand of God again, and particularly the role of the Holy Spirit in the right hand of God. And I had no idea he played such a huge role in all of this. Every one of them play a role. You play a role. He plays a role. Jesus inherited it all. The Father gave it to him. And so there's a lot of things, and you're going to be amazed when we understand his role, how free you're going to get. I can even tell the ways I'm responding to different things now because I recognize that's not my role. I don't have to take that. I don't take that pressure. That's not mine. That's not my role. You see that? When I recognize if that's the role of the Holy Spirit, I'm not taking that. As you know, we've been teaching the right hand of God for a year. And Hebrews chapter 1 says that when he was raised into the right hand of God, that the Father appointed him heir of all things. In his resurrected position, he comes to the disciples in a resurrected position, and he tells them, all power in heaven and in earth is now been given unto me. Go and make disciples of all nations. So we know he inherited all power. We know he was appointed heir. Revelation chapter 5 lists 7 inheritances he receives in that appointed heirship. Worthy is the Lamb to receive what? Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings. The Lamb received all of that when he was raised from the dead and he sat down. He received a kingdom from the Father. And in that kingdom was all of these inheritances. He also received the government. He ascended on high, led captivity captive, and he received gifts for men. The Father gave him the government, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. He also received helps, governments, diversity of tongues. He received that full government there in the right hand of God. And that's why he sends people. We'll get into that, where he sends you from. So he receives all this, and now there's a word. The Bible sometimes can summarize his entire inheritance by calling it an inheritance, or by calling it fullness. For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness would dwell. God gave him everything. Everything I just said is included in the fullness. The kingdom of God, his righteousness, peace, and joy, all that was part of his fullness that he received. So when you see the word fullness, he received that in the right hand of God. That's also the throne of grace, because it's a dispensation of grace, unmerited favor, unmerited blessing, unmerited access to his fullness. Amen. Now, with all that said, let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 31. By the way, the first 3 or 4 sermons in the book of Acts were all about the right hand of God, pulling it right out of the Psalms. Amazing. They fully understood the right hand of God. Jesus appeared to them for 40 days in a row in his resurrected state, telling them what happened. It's pretty awesome. Anyway, Acts 2, verse 31. And seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. This is pulling from the Psalms. Neither did his flesh see corruption. For this Jesus hath God raised up. Now notice this. We are all witnesses. You can add eyewitnesses to that. And that's huge. Okay. And he says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, Christ was. Notice this. He's at the right hand of God, having received the promise of the Holy Ghost. It says, he hath shed forth this. He has shed forth the day of Pentecost. It was the Lord that ordered that. But he received the promise of the Holy Spirit in the right hand of God. I'm thinking, why did he do that? Of course, you're not thinking that. The Holy Spirit injects that question. So you'll ask. And then when you ask the question, he'll say, okay. There was a reason why. Well, the Holy Spirit was supposed to come to the church, right? Holy Spirit was going to fall out. What did Jesus say in John 14, 15, 16? I send you the promise. I send you the comforter. The Father will send him to you in my name. And then he says in 16, I'll send him to you. So if he's sending them to us, why did he stop by the right hand of God? Because Jesus received him in the right hand of God. I'm glad you asked that question. Go to John 16 real quick. Let's look at verse 7. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you." But in 14, he said, "The Father will send him to you in my name," because he had to stop by the right hand of God first. The Father sent him. He went into the right hand of God, and Jesus says, "I'll send him." That's important. Why is that important? I'm glad you asked that question. Go to verse 13. "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Now notice this, verse 14. This is remarkable. He says, "He, Holy Spirit, shall glorify me." There's a lot of things right there. There's questions about whether or not you worship the Holy Spirit in this dispensation. He's not going to let you do that right now, because though he's God, he has a role right now, and he's sent to glorify the Son, and you try to worship him, he's going to turn that glory and that worship to the Son right now, because that's his position right now in this dispensation. When all this is over, you'll be worshiping Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but right now he's glorifying the Son. Look at this. "He shall receive of mine, and he will show it to you." Amplified Bible says this: "He will take, receive, and draw upon what is mine, and he will reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit it to you." I'd like to know what he's receiving. Because whatever he stopped by in Acts chapter 2 and received from the right hand of God, whatever he got there, that's what he received, because he had to stop into there and he sent it to transmit it to you, to materialize it here. Well, what did he get? Verse 15, "All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he'll receive of mine, he'll disclose it, declare it, transmit it, materialize it, manifest it to you." What's he talking about? The fullness of Christ's inheritance that he received at the right hand of God. He gave the Holy Spirit the commission to manifest that inheritance in the earth. All of it. He brought it with him. He received the fullness. And guess where he is now? In you. So what is he manifesting if Jesus, all power was given unto him in heaven and earth? When the power is manifesting on the earth, whose power is manifesting? The Lord Jesus' power. They asked Peter, "By what name do you do this?" And he says, "Be it known to all of you, it's by the name of Jesus." But he was filled with the Holy Ghost when he said it. What do you think the Holy Spirit's filling you with? He brought fullness with him. He stopped by the right hand. The Lord Jesus said, "Here's my fullness. All that inheritance, the Father, all that he had, he's given to me. All those inheritances I told you about. The fullness now, Holy Spirit, it's your job now. We give this ministry to you." And said he sent him from the right hand of God to the church. And when he did, he exploded in Acts chapter 2. He brought that fullness into the earth. Guess what he did? He brought it inside to live with you. You got the mighty Holy Ghost in there, and he brought the full inheritance of the right hand of God with him. That's why it says in John chapter 7, "Out of your belly, or the kingdom of God within you, shall flow rivers of living water." This spake he of the Holy Ghost that shall be given. The rivers that are flowing are the rivers of inheritance that Christ received on the behalf of the church that was entrusted to the Holy Spirit. And when he releases that into the earth, it comes out. Because it's in there. What do you think he's filling you with? When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, he literally took the fullness. What was one of the inheritance manifested in Revelation 5? Glory. He received glory. When the Holy Spirit fills the atmosphere of a place, what do you think he's filling it with? He brought that glory with him. He fills it with the glory of Christ. He takes what's going on in the right hand, that spiritual, brings it into the earth to materialize it in this jurisdiction, because all of that inheritance is a kingdom. It's an invisible kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom, but it's much greater than this one. Far greater. But that kingdom that's invisible and spiritual has to materialize here. It's got to manifest here. And that's what the Holy Spirit sent to do. That's his job description. He is the third person of the Godhead living in us. He's brought it all with him. And here's another thing. That is not your job description. That's his job description. It's taken me 24 years of a lot of pain to realize what my job description is and what his job description is. And when I step over into his job description, I get in trouble because I start stepping on his toes. Because if I start getting in fear and apprehension and he ain't going to show up, what I'm doing inside is I really don't believe that you're who you are, so I got to take some of this responsibility that's been given to you, and I got to let it go off on the inside of me. And Chuck has borne that part of me many times in a service, taking an undue responsibility, thinking I got to generate something. You know what happens? As soon as you let that in, guess what he does? Withdrawals. You know why? We have not recognized his position in the New Testament church. And we take that responsibility, and that's how the last revival fell. You want to know how it fell? It started out, miracles, signs, and wonders. You know the revival I'm talking about. I mean, it was just pouring out. And all of a sudden, what happens is crowds go bigger and bigger and bigger, and the Lord just took me in the future and showed me everything, how it worked. The crowds go bigger and bigger and bigger, and what happens? If you don't know what your responsibility is and what his is, and there's not a very clear distinction, when he gave me what I'm going to give you tonight, it went through me like lightning. I mean, the words like lightning. It's, and he divided the two. It's like there's a big Grand Canyon between what he does and what I do. And before there wasn't the Grand Canyon, he goes, don't mistake because I flow through you that that's actually your ministry. He goes, if you start thinking it's your ministry, you'll take the responsibility of it. You take the responsibility of it, you'll start backpacking it. When you start backpacking it, you'll get intense trying to think you got to drum something up. And when you got to think, start drumming something up, you have just taken the responsibility of what is 100% his and put it on yourself. And when you do that, guess what? When he starts withdrawing to keep the thing going, you got to start hyping the thing. And that's how revivals turn into hype machines. And then they get into Ishmael. And then it gets into flesh because they don't even recognize when the Holy Spirit withdrew. And they started standing in his position. And error comes in. Or they just cut him out altogether. You don't actually think tongues is what he was scared of, do you? Now, tongues is a most incredible gift. Our whole foundation was forged from that. But more importantly, the New Testament church understood what they say. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They knew he was the power of the church. They knew he was sent to be with them. They knew he was working with them. They knew he was co-laboring in partnership with them. They knew they could do nothing without him. And that's why the enemies divided him out under denominationalism. Just use a controversial method to do it. What's easier to do than tongues? Just use that. We'll divide the whole thing out. Just keep his ministry out. And that way you only have one half of the gospel, and that's the testimony of man. And that won't work. That's not going to cut it. You say amen. Now, knowing what his ministry is and what he's been assigned to do, look at John 15, verse 26. We're getting ready for demonstration. I'm going to tell you why he doesn't show up, even when you do get out of the way. There's some things that he's got to have right. We'll get into that. John 15, verse 26. But the Comforter, now I want you to be understanding a dual witness gospel. I want you to begin getting into your mentality, your belief system. The gospel cannot function properly with single witness. It has to have the dual witness. That is our witness and the Holy Spirit's witness. Right now, I don't see his witness anywhere in any major city of the United States. I don't see his witness. You know the witness they said of the Acts? These men have turned the world upside down. The church hasn't turned anything upside down. Not yet. Because we're lacking the witness of the Holy Spirit. So John 15, verse 26. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. See, I will send him because he's coming from the Father. He came to me, he received inheritance, I send him to you. Even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father. Look at this. He shall testify of me. He's going to bear testimony, but he's going to do it with you. Verse 27, and you also will bear witness to what I'm saying to you. All you got to do is look at their message in the book of Acts to find out what they were bearing witness to. We tell them in Acts chapter 1, you serve power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He's going to supply that power. That is his office. That is his administration. That is his responsibility. And I don't have to do it no more. Ann and I today had something occur. There was a need that come up. And sometime when needs like that just come, you'll go pray about it, but it gets in you, see. And you got to go pray about it. You know, it's your responsibility to go make this happen. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost came upon me. And he said, who was given the inheritance of the riches of the nations? Jesus. He goes, who was entrusted to manifest that? He goes, why would you take responsibility for my ministry? I couldn't believe it. He said, when you take all that inside you, that's being a professional worry, fear, call it what it is, going to pray about it. Oh, I got to go do something about this. You know what I did? I repented right there. I said, this is your ministry. I have a part, but I don't have that part. My part is to align and testify of him. His part's to manifest that, not my part. I start taking his part, and guess what? I don't get no help from the helper. The helper just waits and said, okay, if you want to do my job, have at it. You haven't done a very good job of that before, but you want to do it. Man, I'm telling you, you get this revelation, and God divides that thing down the middle, you'll start changing everything. Already in the last 3 or 4 days, massive change. Just tonight in the service, just a brand new freedom. I don't have to manufacture his presence. I don't have to work nothing up in this service. He's going to show up because I know what's going to get him to show up, but I am not going to do his job. I can't. You can't either, and I don't care when 30,000 or 50,000 people come out here and are demanding something from heaven, from a human vessel. That's not in me. That's not my ministry. That's his. I will not take it on myself. I can't take that pressure. No man can. Because you start taking that kind of pressure, you'll start manufacturing, and your flesh will rise up, and the devil will meet you with Ishmael and say, let's burst something here. It looks like God. So what's going to get him to show up? What's the message? Because you're going to testify, and he's going to testify. I'm going to tell you how he testifies. Just run over to Hebrews chapter 2. You'll see very clearly how he testifies. Hebrews 2, his testimony is different. He does not preach the words of God. He manifests the words of God. He materializes the inheritance of God. That's his job. That will never be your job. Say never. When you get this, you'll get free. But I'll tell you what that's not saying. Well, that's you when you get ready to do it. Well, I'm over here waiting. No. You can't check out and think he's just going to show up. He's going to co-labor with you, and you got to say something. You actually got to know something. You got to testify. He's the Spirit of truth. He's going to bear witness to the truth. And if you have it wrong, Hebrews 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? This is the simplicity of the gospel. You understand this. It's getting so simplistic now. I can't stand it. I've made it really difficult, but had to go a long way to get the simplicity. Had to graduate from college to go back to first grade. But hey, however long it takes, we're getting there. Praise God. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord? What? Spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. They gave testimony too, and they were giving a very specific testimony. If you want to know what their testimony was, just read the first five books of Acts. And then go to Acts chapter 7, then 13, then 19. It is all over. They knew the message. They got it right. And was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Verse 4, God also. This is the part God's not getting to do the also. Right now, in the American church, God is not getting to do the also. God is not getting his part of bearing the witness. The Holy Spirit's been all but shut out. Sometimes we shut him out through ignorance. It's not that we don't want him here. Sometimes we're stepping all over him. I've been doing that for 20-something years. Those days are over. So I know what his responsibility is, but at the same time, even though I know it is his responsibility, how am I going to get him to show up? Well, let's see what he shows up with first. How shall we neglect so great a salvation? First began to be spoken of the Lord. It's confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness. The churches must have this operation again, both with signs and wonders, divers, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Without that witness, we are a word-only, single testimony church. Testimony of man saying that we serve an invisible kingdom and an invisible Lord. Would you come to meet him? Who is he? His name is Jesus. He's invisible, but he'll be visible if you'll give your life to him. God didn't just design for your words to be spoken. He designed for your words to be spoken. And then the Holy Ghost comes on over there and says, let me show you proof of the invisible kingdom here for the sinner's eye. Signs, miracles, wonders, and demonstration. And then, like the high priest, there's been a notable miracle. The whole city has seen it, and we cannot deny it. Now they got a decision to make. They've been offered the highest testimony from under heaven, that which man cannot do. All right. Go to Acts chapter 5. So we see the dual witness in John. We see it in Hebrews, Acts 5. And we're going to roll through this pretty quick because I'm going to get into the Lord's ministry himself. I want to show you that he himself walked like this. I want to show it to you. Acts 5, verse 32. And we are his witnesses. You can say eyewitnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost. You see that? He is bearing witness to your witness. Go to chapter 4, verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The first message to the early church. This was that. Was spoken of the prophet Joel. The Holy Ghost fell. But he moves right into quoting from two different Psalms, saying, this is the resurrected Christ that sits at the right hand of God. And what you do see and hear, this is the promise of the Holy Ghost that was sent to him in the right hand of God, and he has sent this to you. They were bearing witness to his resurrection, witness to the right hand of God, and witness to an invisible kingdom that will be made visible by the Holy Ghost. A kingdom that cannot be seen with the eye, but will be manifested before your eyes. That was their message. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5 says, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. Now, half the church, there is a remnant that really, really wants to see the power of God. And then there's others that just want to build a nice place that will serve up 15 minutes, 20 minutes of a sermonette, have a nice social club gathering, and receive the tithes, have a great place for you to meet on Sundays, and do your business networking and all of that. But little change comes from that place. Because I have had various people come in here from seeker-friendly places, and they come in here and the little things blow them out of the saddle. And I'm like, that blows you out of the saddle? And there is a tendency to drop your message down. I never saw the Lord ever do that once. In fact, they kept walking away from him. The disciples never understood him. After he preached to the multitudes, you know they didn't understand him. He had to expound it to his disciples all night long. Okay, here's what I was talking about. Here's what I was talking about. He got frustrated with them all the time. We are called to preach the message of his kingdom, and particularly the message of his resurrection. He ascended into the right hand of God. He received a kingdom from the Father. He received an inheritance, and you've been granted access there. You were raised together with him, made to sit together with him. And secondhand testimony is not good enough for the Holy Ghost. You know what I mean by secondhand testimony? A judge would throw that out of court. If I came to Pastor Chuck and said, I witnessed a crime, but I can't go testify, but you go testify in my place. And Chuck came up there and said, you know, I am associate pastor to Pastor LaRue, and he witnessed the crime, but he sent me. And that judge says, I should throw you in jail. I should throw you in jail for even thinking. He'd never do that. What is the first thing they do at a crime site? They ask for eyewitness testimony. Truth. Not secondhand truth. Now, secondhand truth is not if I'm saying it to you and you get it, but you still have to go and see it. You have to hear it. You have to behold it. You have to experience it. You have to ascend into that. You have to be a partaker of the heavenly calling. You have to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. It's not enough for you to say, I know it, and go up there and just start preaching knowledge. The Holy Spirit says, that's not eyewitness testimony. I cannot anoint it. Somebody say hallelujah. It's the eyewitness testimony of what you've seen and heard of his resurrection, of his right hand, and of the living kingdom that's not seen with a natural eye, but fully seen through the word and fully seen by the spiritual eye and the spiritual senses, that you can step into a kingdom that you're not of this world. I've been granted access. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. Why? You got to give testimony of that place, because that's the only place the Holy Spirit is going to manifest it. And watch this. Acts 4 verse 18. And they called them and commanded not to speak at all or teach in that name. Why? Because they just perform miracles in that name. It's that name that the Holy Spirit was sent with the authority of that name. He's manifesting that name through your witness. Now watch this. Peter says, Peter and John answered and said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than God, you judge. But we cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard. What do you think he's talking about there? He's not talking about a natural kingdom he's seen and heard. It's a spiritual kingdom. In fact, the Lord visited him for 40 days in a row, Acts chapter 1, in a resurrected place, expounding the kingdom, showing him his resurrection. But you know what the Lord told me? I said, Lord, I hadn't seen you like that. But I have seen the right hand of God, and I bear witness of it after 49 messages. I think I'm qualified to bear witness that that place is very real. You know, I was telling Anna the other day, there is nothing in our life right now except absolution of faith that's manifesting what we see and hear of another kingdom. But that's all about to change, because the Holy Ghost, we're getting well acquainted with him. I'm not stepping on his toes anymore. I know what his job is. I know what my job is. But he needs my first-hand testimony, eyewitness testimony of the right hand of God and the glories of the right hand. We've preached it out of the book of John. We've preached it out of the book of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Psalms, Hebrews, Revelation. We have borne testimony most every single book. We have given testimony of the right hand of God. It's going to get manifested. And I don't have to do it. And if this place fills up with 50,000 people, obviously in another building, I still don't have to do it. And neither do you. But we do have to bear eyewitness testimony, which is going to require some laboring to enter into his rest where he has sat down at the right hand of God. You have to enter there to bear the proper testimony. If you don't, you're just speaking secondhand knowledge. It's not enough to get anointed like they were in the book of Acts. We need desperately the Holy Spirit's testimony. The church will not accomplish without it. We're going to actually pray tonight a prayer of repentance on behalf of the body of Christ at large for those that have just totally rejected him and those that don't know how. They're stepping all over his toes trying to get him to operate but have not entered into the right place to bear the testimony of his resurrection. He is a resurrected king priest. He sits on the throne after the order of Melchizedek. That throne is not seen with a natural eye, but it's very real. It's marked by the word of the living God. And that place is more real than this one. But God's going to bring the reality of a spiritual kingdom. I bless you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's just grand, but I got to get that stuff there here. And the Holy Ghost said, yes, I brought his blessings with me. And I will release those if you will stay out of my way and work with me. Holy Ghost saying, work with me. Work with me. Luke 1 and 2 says, even as they delivered them up unto us, and from the beginning we were eyewitnesses. How many of you want to be an eyewitness? You're going to have to do a little bit of labor to be an eyewitness. It means you're going to have to get out of yourself and get into him. You got to be found in him to be an eyewitness. All right? Now, you're going to love this one. 2 Peter 1:16, that's another one, eyewitness. But let me take you to Revelation 12:11. You know, some people just don't have it. That's what Jesus said. He that had the ears to hear, he told me, he said, some people, son, he goes, not everybody's going to want this. Some people just want a nice life. He goes, that's what they want. He goes, I love them. I do. He goes, when they get to heaven, they'll be very sad. What they could have had. I said, Lord, and send me to the ones who do want it. Because that's who I want to talk to. Send me and send those that want it here. Revelation 12:11. This will be a new revelation for a lot of you. It was new for me. And they overcame him, speaking of the whole demonic host, the government. You read the first chapter 12. It's talking about he drew a third part of the stars from heaven. He filled the earth. The devil is filling the earth. He was cast down to the earth. And it says the saints overcome him. Let me tell you what the word of their testimony is not. He says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Now he is in manifested state here. All right. He's fallen from the heavens. All his demonic hosts are filled the earth. And it says the saints overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I'll tell you what's going to overcome that. I'll tell you to overcome you. You get born again and you stand up here and said, I was an alcoholic and God delivered me. And that's the word of my testimony. That's overcame him in you. But that didn't overcome him out there. No. You want to know what the word of their testimony was? The same one that was in the book of Acts. First, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb because you're born again and you're washed. You're raised together with him and made to sit together with him in heavenly places. You've been granted access to his throne in the kingdom of God. And then you gain the testimony there to testify of a risen king priest out of the right hand of God, bearing a testimony of a kingdom that's not of this world, but that's in you. And I come back to bear testimony and witness that I will overcome you because I will bear the witness of that testimony, and the Holy Ghost that's with me will demonstrate it. And that's how we're going to get the job done. The Holy Ghost is going to get turned up something big in this generation because he's going to manifest the king priest government, because that's the testimony we have seen and heard in the right hand of God. Six messages alone on the Melchizedek government, born as a king priest, a high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, a king priest that resides in Zion at the right hand of God. We have seen and borne witness of that testimony, and the Holy Spirit's going to manifest a generation of king priests and materialize it here in the earth, and it's going to be something to behold. Let me tell you something. Each and every one of you have a revelation. The fullness of that revelation will be expressed and given to you when you are found in him. When you're found in him, you'll find the true nature of your calling. He will express that calling to you. When he does, what you see and hear that's been given to you from him, when you come back to this jurisdiction, you bear witness to what you've experienced, what you've seen, what you've heard. And the Holy Spirit says, I can anoint that firsthand truth right there. He's going to be with you like he was with Stephen, like he was. Even Stephen wasn't an apostle and he was doing mighty signs and wonders. They couldn't resist the wisdom by which he was speaking. Never you see apostle attached to his name. He's going to anoint anybody and everybody that goes to receive firsthand eyewitness of his resurrection. And what you see and hear there, you'll declare. And that's what the Holy Ghost is going to manifest as long as we don't step all over him. Amen? Well, you can read in the book of Acts and find out how many times that they witnessed. He bearing witness. Peter began to give witness. He went into Cornelius' house, the first Gentile. He was bearing witness. And I mean, as he began to bear witness, the Holy Spirit, whoosh. You better get used to the whoosh. He's coming. He will bear witness of what we see in here. These apostles all saw the Lord in a resurrected place. They were all taken into the right hand of God and given the full manifestation of it. And so will our generation. It all belongs to it. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. For you are dead and your life is hidden away with Christ in God. When you pray to the Father, enter into thy closet. Enter into a hidden interior room. And when you pray to enter in, you shut thy door. He's not talking about your natural closet. Shut thy door, and your Father, which is in secret, in that closet with you. So it's not in this jurisdiction because he's in that place. The Father, which is in secret. That word is hidden. The Father, which is in that hidden place. will reward you openly or reward you in your jurisdiction. Do you know what hidden place he's in? You are dead and your life is hidden away with Christ. As you go into that hidden place, why do you say shut the door? Because he wants you to learn how to pray. Because you don't shut the door, you ain't far enough in. Why did he say shut the door? He says, listen, you got to get past the flesh, the devil, first heaven jurisdiction, second heaven jurisdiction. You got to enter in to where he is. Where I am, there shall my servant be also. When you enter in there, get far enough in where you shut the door. And then you're in. And when you shut the door, then pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. All that's in Matthew 6. The Lord's Prayer was never been meant to pray in this jurisdiction. You need to get in there first and then pray it. That's what's going to make it happen. You get praying in the right jurisdiction. He talks about our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now you take Luke's account, because Luke added something on the backside of that prayer. It says, which of you, having a friend to go into him at midnight saying, I need to obtain bread, and the friend will not give it to him because he's your friend, but because you are bugging him and putting him out, he'll give you the bread just to get rid of you. And he goes, and which of you, if you had a son, asked you for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? He says, now if you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more, since you're praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, will the Father not give you the Holy Spirit to help you with that kingdom? Because he's coming and bringing it with him. He's going to come live inside you and help manifest that into the earth. Start praying out of the right hand of God. Shut the door. Start getting more results. Amen. He just didn't bring the kingdom out. He got to bring the kingdom to you. He's bringing the blessings. He's bringing the blessings. How long is it going to take us to realize you can't just cut a $1,000 check and think everything's going to change? Because some slick Willie told you if you did that, then everything's going to change. And he got rich and you went home poor. It's amazing how those guys can promise you 100-fold. But if they could make that work as good as they promise it, why do they even need your money? Won't they write the $1,000 check and get the $100,000 themselves? It's easier to pull it out of you. Because we're sheep. We go, bah, bah. You should have said, bad doctrine, bad doctrine, bad doctrine. Now, Holy Ghost, on the other hand, will lead you to give everything sometime. He'll do it. Luke 11 said, but if I with a finger of God cast out devils, the kingdom's come on you. What do you think the finger is? It's the stretched out part of the right hand. The Holy Ghost is stretching right through that finger. He's the finger of God. When he comes down, the kingdom's come on you. That's his job. Let's not step into his role. When he started showing me this role of the Holy Spirit, he said, I want you to understand, though I was the Son of God, I did not do one miracle as the Son of God in my deity. I came here as a role model for you. I was baptized with the same Holy Ghost you're baptized with. He goes, if I did it in my deity, you could not obtain to it. If I did one miracle in my deity and then ask you the works that I do, you would do also. You can't attain to his deity, so how could you do that work? You could not. He didn't do any of it in his deity, not one miracle. And he says, you'll find that I could do nothing without him. In fact, he came and said, you have to have this revelation of what is your responsibility and what is his. Even Jesus knew that in his own ministry. Everybody get the thing, because he was Jesus. He could heal them. Jesus didn't do any of those works on his own. I'm going to show you that right now. He told them, because I'm not doing this. You know how many times he said the Father sent me in the book of John? Go over to John 17 real quick. John 17. This is huge. This is very important. The Holy Spirit was sent from the right hand of God. If you're going to be the proper eyewitness, you will have to be sent from there too. When he sends you, he doesn't send you from this jurisdiction. He sends you from there. He can't send you from somewhere you don't go. You see the importance of why he spent a whole year trying to get us there? I hope we're taking advantage of all that. John 17, verse 11. And now I am no more in the world. He's praying. Now watch what he's going to do. He's going to project them. He goes, I am no more in the world. It's the last prayer he's going to pray in John. But these are in the world, speaking of his disciples. And I come to thee, Father. I'm on my way. Holy Father, keep in thine own name those that thou hast given me. And now look at verse 14. He said, these are in the world. Now look at verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of this world, even as I'm not of this world. You see what he did? He just projected them right through the cross in his prayer. He says, Father, they're in the world. Don't take them out of the world. But just as I'm coming to you, Father, I am not of this world. They're coming to me, because where I am, there should be also. They will follow me through the cross to be with me where I am. And from this position of the right hand of God where I sit, they are raised together and they sit with me in heavenly places. And then they, from that position, are not of this world anymore. You see that? Now, that's very important you understand that progression. The church hardly ever gets there. They go to the door of salvation and say, hallelujah. And they don't go through. They get saved, but they don't go into the kingdom. They sit at the door of salvation. Okay? Now, watch this. And he says something. He says, they're not of the world. And then look at verse 20. Still praying. Verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He's already in the right hand of God in his prayer. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now notice what he says, verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world in the same manner, Father, that you sent me. I came from the bosom of the Father. I returned to the bosom of the Father. Father, as you have sent me from your bosom, so have I also sent them into the world. From my right hand, I received them, and now I send them into the world. Wow. He received the Holy Spirit, sent him. He received you at the cross. You were raised together, made to sit together with him in heavenly places. And from that position, once you have the proper testimony, tarry in Zion until the power, you be endued in power on high, Chuck's testimony. Tarry there until you get endued. So sit there and learn, experience, hear what he wants to say to you in the right hand. And once you get then, he sends you back into the world. You see that? Now you are a sent one, bearing the proper eyewitness testimony. And the Holy Spirit said, hey, I've been there too. When you say it, I'll manifest it. Because we are together in this. You are under the Holy Spirit's authority and also a co-laborer with him in giving the witness of what you have seen and heard. He will give the supernatural witness of signs, miracles, wonders, and demonstration, what the church desperately needs. I'm talking about city-level demonstration, not watching a little leg grow out 1.5 inches. Now, I'm not making light of any miracle, but I'm talking about the creative realm coming down, building, shaking under the power. Okay, John 14, some just got up and went. When you go up and get up and went without being sent, you're going to be sent from the right hand. The quicker you get there, the quicker you'll get sent. He doesn't send from this jurisdiction. He sends from that one. And that's just good. Everyone say hallelujah, glory, amen. John 14:8. Philip saith unto them, Lord, show us the Father. Jesus said, am I been you so long a time, and yet you've not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of myself. In fact, in John 7, he says, my doctrine is not even mine. It's the Father who sent me. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of myself. Moreover, the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Jesus himself, and I get into this, unless he gives me something else, I'm going to show you throughout the book of John that he absolutely understood his role to give testimony of the truth, and he understood the Father's role, and he understood the Holy Spirit's role, and he never crossed those boundaries himself as the Son of the living God. He knew who was doing the works, and he said, "This is not of me." That is huge when you're trying to get the inheritance to manifest, that you don't go step on over in someone else's territory. Amen? That's called micromanaging. Holy Spirit don't like micromanaging. He likes to do his job. He likes you to do yours. Amen? I want to pray. So, Father, we're so thankful for your kingdom. And we thank you, Father, for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit that's been granted and given to the church. Jesus, you sent him with your inheritance. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you tonight. By your word, Jesus, we recognize what is our responsibility to bear eyewitness to the truth of your resurrection, to the truth of your kingdom, to the truth of your throne that sits in the right hand of God. We also recognize what is the responsibility that's been granted to the Holy Spirit to manifest and materialize an invisible kingdom into this natural, invisible kingdom. Holy Spirit, as we are in one accord, we just want to say to you on the behalf of the body of Christ, we want to ask your forgiveness for those that have just shut you out completely through false belief systems that have went on about trying to build a church with human sufficiency and man's agendas and personalities and performance. And just the way it looks today, Father, must be so grieving. Holy Spirit, and those that are seeking and searching and hungering and thirsting, that have not given up, but have still not made it far enough into the place where they're sent, that you bring forth the revelation of the right hand of God to every tongue, tribe, and nation. We ask you to forgive us for stepping on the toes, to stepping into your line of things, to taking an unreasonable responsibility, an undue responsibility, and taking through a performance syndrome the responsibility of producing what only you can do as the finger of God, what only you can do as the image of the express power of Christ operating in the earth. That only you can do that. Only you bear the sign, the miracles, the wonders, the testimony, the confirmation, and the demonstration of the creative miracles and filling the atmosphere with pure glory. Only you can do that, and we no longer have to bear that responsibility. Ours is to bear testimony. Yours is to perform that testimony. And we ask forgiveness. We surrender to what is our part. We surrender the fear, the anxiety. We surrender all of it. We ask you to have your will and your way and your mandate for which you were sent from the right hand of God. We are under your authority, and we are co-laborers with you to bear dual testimony in this earth. So today, from this point on, we wait and we tarry in Zion until we be endued and endowed with you. But we will not step into your place and manufacture in the flesh what belongs to you alone. That is your ministry. We recognize it. We need it. We desire it. We want it. You were sent on our behalf to work with us. and to bear that testimony which the world desperately needs to see and to hear, a kingdom in full-blown manifestation in the earth. That is you, Holy Spirit, and we wait for that precious day, an absolution of peace, to know that you are with us and you're coming to bear the testimony of what has been spoken. And Father, we give you all the glory, Jesus. What a great inheritance we have in you. We are blessed. We are blessed beyond measure. We are blessed. Father, as we go forth, let that blessing manifest in every area of our life. Let it materialize. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen and amen.